We're in a series on family matters, and as we look at family matters, it's all related to communion. It's about realizing who God is, and as a result of knowing and seeing who God is, it's knowing and seeing who we are. Last week, we looked at husbands, how God makes men and God makes husbands. This morning, we'll look at wives, Wonder Woman. How many of you women feel like Wonder Woman? Wonder Woman. God makes wives. You say, Rich, I'm not married. God makes women. And if this is typical of a church, probably 60% of the people here this morning in this service are women, not men. God makes women. God makes wives. God makes girls. God makes females. And if you're a woman, digest what God has for you today. If you're a man, you better listen. Because if you don't, you're in deep weeds. Okay? You better listen. God makes wives. God makes women. God makes females. I'm not a woman. You didn't have to say that. Somebody said you're pretty ugly. Whoa. So something like that. I'm not a woman. And this morning, though, I'm going to share some things God's taught me in my 65 years about women. I'm still learning. In the last few years, I've learned a lot more than I did in my first 63 years. It kind of grows on you. I love this verse, and it's a verse for all of us. But it's a verse especially dealing with women because of the way God's made them. Let's read it together. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. It's a great verse, and one of the reasons it's a great verse, especially for women, is the question they often ask is, am I beautiful? Am I captivating? Does someone love me or someone want me? Notice what it says here. God takes great delight in you. The Lord your God is with you. Rosa's testimony this morning is how God was with her, and she wanted to sense her head in God's lap, and God was just stroking her head and says, you're mine. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. And if you're a woman here this morning, God takes great delight in you. And that delight is seen in Jesus, how he took great delight in you. My body for you is what Jesus said. That's what he thinks of you. He quiets you with his love. And once you know that God is with you, he saves you, he delights in you, then you can quiet down in him. He quiets you with his love. You're no longer sparring with God or pushing or pressing to become something you aren't. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Aren't you glad, ladies, that someone rejoices over you with singing? Aren't you glad, ladies, that someone rejoices over you with singing? Isn't that great? What you're saying is, I recognize my beauty comes from him. I'm recognizing who he is, and I'm no longer having to pursue it or begin to make myself something that I feel I should be in order to be accepted or beautiful or liked or loved. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He'll quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You ought to memorize that verse. It's a great verse. And not just memorize it, but then meditate on it and recognize that's what God says about me. That will help you become the woman God wants you to be. And by the way, men, it fits for you too. Let's look at another verse. In Isaiah, it talks about why Christ came to preach the gospel to the poor, and so the lepers would be cleansed and the blind would see, and the poor would have the gospel preached to them. And then he says this, let's read it together, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Again, it talks about a lot of the stuff that's going on in the heart of a woman. We mentioned last week that men look in the mirror to see what's good, and a woman looks in the mirror to see what's wrong, what's bad. Because she's concerned about beauty and what's not quite right. And things aren't quite centered here, and the coloring is not quite right. Something's wrong. And God says he bestows on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Did you see where your beauty comes from? Ladies, your beauty comes from God. Your beauty comes from God. And if you recognize that and you're quieted by his love, then all of a sudden, those things that you see that are all wrong, when you see God, then all of a sudden your focus is on him. You're not primarily concerned about how you look. Now, you know what we mentioned? If a barn needs painting, paint it. There's nothing wrong with wearing things or looking nice. But there's a difference between looking nice because I have freedom in Christ and because I'm beautiful in Christ, beautiful in God. God gives you a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, a garment of praise. I was at a woman's event. They had me speak at a woman's event once in Washington. I don't know if I'll do that again. I think about it. And I'm sitting in the back of this event, and there's a lot of women there. And I'm sitting at this table with a couple people who were putting on the event and a few other people. And all of a sudden, this woman sitting beside me just shrieked. I thought, what is going on here? I thought, man, maybe she was going to have to go to the hospital or something on the inside was wrong. Or I didn't know what was going on. And then she looked at this other lady beside her, and you know what she said? There's a lady that came in with the same dress I'm wearing. I thought, there's something more here. And she was flabbergasted. She didn't want anybody else to see her. Now, if you were a man, that's a compliment. If someone's wearing what you're wearing, that shows you're good. And, you know, you got style. But for a woman, you didn't want anybody wearing what you're wearing, I guess. Is that right, ladies? Now, if you saw someone this morning wearing something that you're wearing, just kind of look ahead. Don't worry about it. If she goes out that door, you go out this door, okay? You see, men didn't really notice. In fact, your husband probably doesn't even know what you have on. If I were to take all the men in this room, if you came with a wife or your daughter or somebody, what's she wearing this morning? Let me tell you, over 50% of the men wouldn't have a clue. But you do. You know what God says? I give the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Your praise comes from whom? God. A garment of praise. And then when that shriek came out of her, I realized, I'm not qualified to be speaking here. I don't understand what she just did. I don't understand why she did it. What am I speaking at this conference for? They'll be called oaks of righteousness. Now, we think of men like this, but let me tell you, ladies, this is women too. You'll be called an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to display his splendor. You know what God's made you as a woman? An oak of righteousness, his planting to display his splendor, because your garment of praise comes from him. Your beauty comes from him. He quiets you with his love. Do you see how this affects you? But this is not where we get it. This is not where we get our beauty. It's not where we get our praise. And that because of what's happened in the world in which we live, all of a sudden we have all these questions. Let's take a look at how God's designed us. Wonder Woman. The word wonder in the New Testament, Old Testament, one of the words for miracles. A miraculous woman, a woman who's a miracle of God, a woman who's a work of God, a making of God. We all need that. Men need it, women need it, wives need it. God made women, he made wives and women in his image and likeness. In Genesis 1:27, God says, let us make man in our image. It says, an image of God, he made them. Male and female, he made them. Men and women are both made in the image and likeness of God. Last week, we suggested that image has to do with representation. Likeness is a reflection. You're like God, but different. You represent God, but there's something about you that's like God, representative of God, but different than God. Not only are men made in his image, but so are women. You're made in the image and likeness of God. That's crucial. What's it mean to be female? What's it mean to be female? The Hebrew word, nakab, means to puncture, to pierce. It's with holes. It's to take something in. God designed you to take something in. And one of the Greek words for female is thalos. It's to suckle at the breast, to nourish, to strengthen, or to beautify. You put those two words together. Here's what it means to be female. It's to take something in. As we look at the next slide, guys, to be female means to take something in under God's direction and to nurture and beautify for God's glory. To take something in under God's direction and to nurture and beautify for God's glory. That's what it means to be female. To take something in under God's direction and to nurture and beautify for God's glory. It's to relate with God and others without fear, shame, or loneliness. We see those concepts all in the first couple chapters of Genesis. Adam and Eve were naked. They were not ashamed. They were communicating with one another in communion with God and each other. They were not afraid. God created Eve for Adam, and now they were not alone. They not only had God, but they had one another. They were not alone. They could relate with God and others without fear, shame, or loneliness. But the image of God for a woman is different than the image of God for a man. I've often asked the question, is God male or female? You know what? He's neither. He's both and more than. He's both and. There's something in femaleness that demonstrates the glory of God, the image of God, and likeness of God. And there's something in maleness that demonstrates the image and glory of God. There's some similarities and likenesses with both, but there's points where they're totally different. I mean, by design, women and men think differently. They just think differently. That's why that woman shrieked at that table. When a woman walked in with the same dress she had on, her day was just totally plastered. Something was wrong. It was never going to be the same for her. Women think relationally. A man normally thinks rationally. By design. By design. A woman thinks emotionally. A man thinks logically. Sometimes I've heard the phrase used that man is waffle-brained. He's kind of, everything's compartmentalized. Now, it doesn't mean a woman can't be compartmentalized. She can be. But a man's more waffle-brained. A woman's more spaghetti-brained. Somehow everything's interrelated. It's all connected. I know my wife thinks that way, but I don't know why. Then I know, well, part of the reason why is God made her that way. The problem with men is, if a man thinks logically, a woman thinks just the opposite of what? Illogical. That's not right, men. Don't go there. You think logically, she thinks emotionally. A man thinks rationally, and a woman thinks, what's the opposite? Irrational. That's not right. You think rationally, she thinks relationally. By design. And when you look at Jesus Christ, one of the unique things about Jesus Christ, though he was a man, male, he's the second Adam. Adam was created first by design as the head of the human race and ultimately as the head of the home. Christ came as a male. Romans 5 is all about wherefore is by one man came sin and by sin by and death by sin. Now the second Adam brings life and righteousness. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Though Christ was male, what you find in Christ is a fuller picture of both male and female together. God is all that and more. He's not just male. He's not just female. He's all that and more. So now women relate to God. But something's happened. In Genesis chapter 3, sin comes in the picture. And you know what? What we find in Genesis chapter 3 is Satan, through the serpent, attacking Eve. Satan is still attacking Eve. He's still attacking you, ladies. Sin attacks you. That's why he relates. And as he tempts Eve, he tempts her through the fruit of this one tree that they were not to eat. And it says, when she saw that the tree was good for food, by instinct, by the way she's been made by God, she wanted things that were good for food and that was beautiful to look upon. Beauty is important to her. Beauty is important to you, ladies. And able to make one wise, what woman doesn't want that? He works on the way she was designed, and as a result, she eats from the tree and gives to her husband. Satan wants to make us like himself, defining our own beauty, making our own way, causing us to do what we want to do, to become our own gods. We want to make ourselves in our image. And for a woman, image is everything. If she's living out of her instincts, image is everything. What she looks like. Sin is now making myself in my image. And so now the questions become who, what, why, and how do I take in under my direction? And as a result of sin, now I take people in under my direction instead of God's. What do I bring them in for? Is to make me beautiful. Have you ever been looking for that knight in shining armor? It's going to rust. Okay? Look to Christ. That's why I take them in. How do I take them in? So that somehow I can arrange this and make it beautiful and have it all fit together. Women are about arranging things. They're about beauty. They're about relationally connecting and putting things together. When I was in my last couple years of graduate school, I would often get invited. I was a youth pastor at a church, and I'd often get invited over to people's homes that had single daughters. This is for dinner after church. Or I'd get invited over to grandmas who had granddaughters, or aunts who had nieces. I'd always show up at dinner, and there'd be one or two girls there. You know what they were doing? They were arranging things, and that's what cosmos do. It's an orderly system. You know what cosmetics are? Is it's about making chaos out of order. I mean, making order out of chaos. So women are all about arranging all these things. They want to make things beautiful, and they're going to put them all together. They were matchmaking. So now who, what, why, how do I take things in under my direction instead of God's direction? To be female means to take things in under God's direction and then to nurture and beautify them for God's glory. Who, what, why, and how do I nurture and beautify for my benefit? So now because of sin, here's where Satan and where sin attacks femaleness, where he attacks wives, where he attacks women. I now take things in under my direction. I now beautify and nurture them for my benefit because now it's about my image instead of Christ's image. And so the question women ask is, am I beautiful? God designed you for beauty. Am I beautiful? Am I captivating? Am I nurtured? And am I nurturing others? Am I wanted? Am I chosen? And more often than not, women are looking for men to answer those questions. You see, ladies, a man can't bestow femininity. And as a wife, ladies, a man cannot make you a wife. He can encourage you in your femininity, encourage you as a wife, or encourage you as a woman, but he cannot make you a woman or a wife. Only God can do that. And so often we're looking in others what we don't have in ourselves, and we're wanting from others what we don't see in ourselves, and we're hoping somehow that they can bring it in, and that can't happen. That can't happen. The question women ask, am I beautiful? Am I captivating? Am I nurtured? Am I wanted? Am I chosen? And they begin to relate accordingly. I want to watch just a brief video, and it talks about how women communicate and how men need to understand. It's not about the nail. Let's watch and listen.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Let me ask you a question. How many of you ladies understood that? Let me ask you another question. How many of you men understood it? If you're raising your hand, man, you're lying. It's not about the nail. It's this achy thing I have going on in my head, and it's more than the nail. Sometimes the best thing you can do for your wife is just listen to her. And if she's got a nail on her forehead, kiss her sideways. And if you just listen to her, you know what you're going to do? She's going to think, he loves me. He's interested in me. He's listening to me. You see, women want to be beautiful. And if you're trying to fix her to make her beautiful, she'll never receive that or accept it. They don't want to be fixed. They just want to be heard. They want to be loved. They want to become the woman God wants them to be. And while you can help make that happen, you cannot ultimately make that happen. How does God do that? Through transformation. In Christ, I'm loved, forgiven, accepted, and complete. Ladies, women, wives, you need to acknowledge this, that it's in Christ that you're loved and forgiven, accepted, and complete. If you try to make yourself or make yourself somehow loved by others, it's never going to work. If you're going to try to find yourself forgiven through others or complete in others, it's never going to work. It all comes from Christ. When you recognize who Christ is, this is my body for you, my blood for you. Here's what Christ has done. Some of the songs we sang earlier this morning, as we sang, as the choir sang, I do, about God's acceptance. He's the treasure. Isn't he beautiful? It's all about him. In Christ, I'm loved, forgiven, accepted, and complete. God says, I'm your beauty. Often in the Old Testament, you find this phrase about half a dozen to a dozen times, the beauty of holiness. God's holiness is beautiful. God is beautiful. We sang the song, Isn't He Beautiful? And as women and as wives, when we begin to recognize our beauty is found in Him, then all of a sudden we begin to see it from another source. And then ultimately, we're not trying to make ourselves beautiful in our image. We're recognizing the beauty we receive from Him in His image, and it begins to free us up to become all that God's called us to be. Transformation. God created us in His image, and now because of sin, I'm trying to remake myself beautiful in my image, and now I can be transformed into the image of Christ. I'm your beauty. I give you beauty for ashes. I will remake you in my image. Transformation. And so we see a number of phrases in the Bible about God and how we're complete in Him. Notice some of these. I've chosen you by name to glorify me. Here's what God thinks of you, wives. Here's what He thinks of you, ladies. I've chosen you by name. One of the questions women ask is, am I chosen? Am I wanted? Am I captivated? Does someone really seek me and want me? I've chosen you by name to glorify me. Isn't that great? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places according as He's chosen us. He's chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be what? Holy and blameless before Him in love. I've chosen you by name to glorify me. I've chosen you to beautify you by my holiness. God's our beauty. God's our holiness. Aren't you glad? It's found in Him. It's about Him. It's about God. It's not about the person sitting beside you. It's not about your spouse. I turn your ashes into beauty to display my glory through you. That's the verse we've read earlier. I turn your ashes into beauty to display my glory through you. You see, God wants you to be His masterpiece. He wants you to display His glory. He wants you to be beautiful. But He's saying this, it's the beauty of holiness. It's the beauty of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when that beauty begins to radiate out of you, you're now free to take something in to make it beautiful for God's glory. Because you're not pushed or pressured to try to make somebody look at you or see you or think you're beautiful. I turn your ashes into beauty to display my glory through you. I nurture you as the God of the breast to nurture others. I nurture you as the God of the breast. God made you to nurture. And He says, now I nurture you as the God of the breast. El Shaddai is one of the Hebrew words for the names of God. It's the God of the breast. It's the God who nurtures and nourishes. I nurture you as the God of the breast so you can nurture others. We receive our beauty from Him. We are nurtured by Him. And as a result, we can become the wife or the woman that God's called us to be. I love you with an everlasting love to love others. That's what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 31:3. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. Just before communion, one of the songs we sang is about kindness. God's kindness. God's kindness. I love you with an everlasting love to love others. That's who God is. I delight in you. I delight in you. So you delight in me and others. Hephzibah. Look at Isaiah 62:4. Just turn there. Use that word Hephzibah. Isaiah 62:4. It's kind of a neat name, isn't it? I bet you there's nobody here named Hephzibah. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah. You know what that means? My delight is in her. My delight is in her. No longer will you be desolate. If you do not recognize that God's delight is in you, you ultimately will be desolate. And out of your desperation and desolation, you will seek to find this somewhere else. No longer will you be called deserted or your land be desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah. My delight is in her, and your land Beulah, married. Whether single or married, married to God. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. Hephzibah. Let's all say that word together. Hephzibah, my delight is in her. Let's say that phrase. My delight is in her. Again, Hephzibah, let's say it. Hephzibah, my delight is in her. From the depths of your heart, you have to believe that that's true of you. Otherwise, you'll keep looking to someone else or to yourself to find beauty and hope and delight. My delight is in her. I rejoice over you with singing, so you rejoice in me and others. We often try to find in our spouse what we do not have in ourselves. We often try to find in a man or a male what we did not have in ourselves. And so we don't have it, so we try to get it to ultimately recognize we can only find it in Christ. Because Christ gives without strings attached. He gives inner beauty and real beauty, and the result is we can naturally show that beauty through him. I rejoice over you with singing, so you rejoice with me and others. There's a triangle. We mentioned this last week, and I'd like us to look at that. Notice how Christ is at the top. He's the one who makes us beautiful. We're complete in him. And the point is this. As we draw close to Christ as a husband or as a wife or as a person, as we draw close to Christ, we begin to respond and reflect Christ. That's crucial. More often than not, we're reflecting ourselves. You see, people don't need to see more of me. They don't need to see more of you. Is that right? We don't need to see more of each other. We need to see more of Christ in us, Christ transforming us, Christ through us. As I draw close to Christ, I respond and reflect Christ. And if I pull the other way, as a husband or a wife, if I pull the other way, I begin to react and reject. And so often, instead of pulling close to Christ in transformation, letting him make us in our image, letting him direct what we take in, letting him direct how we nurture and beautify others as well as ourselves, because Christ has transformed us, we now take these things in ourselves in our image. We begin to pull away from Christ. And when I pull away from Christ, I naturally react and reject. Where are you this morning, ladies? Where are you this morning, wives? And what's great about this triangle is you can be right with God even if your spouse isn't. We live in a culture that more often than not says this: if my spouse isn't moving in the right direction and we can't make it, the marriage is over. That's totally false. God says you can be right with God even if your spouse isn't. You can do what's right before God. You can reflect Christ even if your spouse doesn't. Occasionally, I've run across a very godly man or a very godly woman who's married to a very ungodly spouse. And I've seen a few of them just walk close to Christ and draw that spouse to Christ through his beauty in them. You can be a godly woman, and you can be a godly wife, even if your spouse is ungodly. God wants you to react not to him. God wants you to respond to Christ and reflect him, not react to your spouse and reject them. He says within relationships, a triangular relationship is necessary for spiritual health. You see, you can't pull this off yourself. Say, Rich, you don't know the marriage I'm in. I'm glad I don't. Hey, you want to know what? You don't know the marriage I'm in. You think Kathy and I have problems? Nobody's answering that one. You can rest assured we have problems. And I know this. There are some needs she can never meet in my heart because only God can meet those. And I know this. There are some needs I can never meet. I can love her. And I can realize it's not about the nail. And I can listen. And I can encourage. But I know I can't make her a woman. I can't make her feminine. I can't make her complete. But I know I can love Jesus. And as I do, I know it releases me and frees me. And I know as she loves Jesus, it releases her and frees her to be what God's called her to be. Catch it. A triangular relationship is necessary for spiritual health. Draw close to Christ. He beautifies you. He makes you holy. He changes you on the inside. He transforms you into his image. And as a result, your beauty now is not just an outer thing, it's an inner thing. Adorn the inner person of your heart. That word adorn, to make beautiful. The inner person of your heart. By drawing close to Christ, you're adorning the inner spirit of your heart. And as a result, there's a change. What's God telling us? Wonder Woman? Hey, you want to know what can happen to you? Believe it or not, you can be a Wonder Woman. Let's look at the next slide here, guys. You can be a Wonder Woman. God makes me a beautiful, nurturing woman to display his splendor. That's what God does. Isn't this tremendous hope in Christ today? Ladies, is this helpful? Is it hopeful? Men, is this helpful? Is this hopeful? God makes you a beautiful, nurturing woman to display his splendor. God makes a woman. God makes wives. Rachel, as you come up, maybe you guys have texted in some questions. Let me conclude this part of the message by saying this. The end of beauty is not beauty. The end of beauty is God. The end of redemption isn't redemption. Come on. The end of redemption is Christ. The end of holiness isn't holiness. The end of holiness is Christ. And I recognize that I have beauty and holiness and redemption through Christ. My focus is on him, not on what I've received. And as a result of him making me beautiful as a man or as a woman, as a result of God making you beautiful as a wife, the result is you can display his splendor. God bless you. Any questions this morning?
Yeah, I got a few.
Is that on?
Yeah, I have a few.
Good, good.
You can hear me now. Okay, here's a good one. How do I keep from burning out as a supermom or a Wonder Woman?
I think there's a difference in what we've used those words. If you're worried about becoming a supermom, you've already lost it. The issue might not be image, but the issue is I got to do this, this, this. In fact, if you look at the average woman's schedule, especially if you have kids, let me tell you, when we had kids, this was 25 years ago when our kids were home, it was horrendous. We were running here, running there. We finally realized we can only do a few things. Our kids are going to be involved in a few activities. We became selective. If you don't, you'll try to worry about being a super mom, getting up and having breakfast ready, having the laundry done, getting the kids to school and picking this one up for school. This one's ballet. This one's soccer. Picking that one up so they can study. Pick this one up to go here. A super mom means you're doing all this stuff. God doesn't want you to be a super mom. He wants you to be a Wonder Woman. He said, what's the difference? A Wonder Woman is... you've been made a wonder, a miracle by God. He wants you to display his splendor. By the way, if the kids see you constantly rattling off all this stuff and going all these places, you know what they're going to learn life is all about? Going all these places, doing all these things. You want to know what life is about? Taking in Christ, letting him beautify you, and letting your kids see you display his splendor. Your kids need to see Jesus in you. They don't need to see you. Don't be concerned about being a super mom. Maybe as a couple, begin to reflect what you're doing as a family and begin to limit where you're going to go and how many activities you're going to be in. And then let God display his splendor through you. What would your kids think if they saw a mom who was radiating Christ, who was maybe a little bit quieter, not quite as tense, not quite as pushy or pressured? Get out of school, it's time, we got to get here now, we got to go there. What would they do if they saw a mom who was at ease with herself and at ease with her kids? You think kids need to see that in our razzle-dazzled age? We're frazzled. We're all over the place. Kids need to see the quietness and beauty of Christ in you.
I've noticed also that supermoms often tend to be so-so wives.
That's a great phrase. Did you hear that? Say it again. Supermoms.
Supermoms tend to be so-so wives. They, you know, you only have so much to give, you know, and you really lose on the other part.
That's right. A great phrase. I like that. Why don't you answer the next question?
Well, I've done the girl thing for a while now. So. Yeah.
And you know, with that, we talk about these hovering parents, you know, like they're parachutes, there's helicopter parents, they're just hovering over all their kids, hovering all their wives. Quit hovering. Be what God's called you to be. Rest in Christ. Your kids will love you more. They'll see Christ in you.
I am getting older and don't look physically beautiful anymore. I feel tired and definitely not displaying his splendor. Any encouragement for senior ladies out there?
From a senior man to a senior lady. Let's look at this question again.
I'm getting older. Don't look physically beautiful anymore.
Stop.
Okay.
That's assuming you did look physically beautiful before. But that was speaking logically. I got to get out of my... It was never about looks. If you understand what's going on this morning, it's all about looks, but it's about inner looks. Adorn the inner person of your heart. Because I've seen a lot of people, I've seen a lot of ladies, humanly, they were kind of ugly. Don't take me wrong. You say, Rich, you're making... No, I'm just saying, outwardly, were they attractive? But there was... No, but the attractiveness was Christ. Have you ever seen people that were just so attractive because God was in them and God was working through them? That's the key. So I'm not attractive anymore. That's the lie we bought into, that I can make myself attractive. And if I look this or do that, and in fact, today you can buy everything in the drugstore. You can just go get surgery and be attractive. Jesus makes you attractive on the inside. I'm not attractive anymore. Yes, you are. If you understand your beauty is on the inside from Christ. Now, the next part of that question.
I feel tired and definitely not displaying his splendor. Any encouragement?
Yeah, you know what? Maybe you're tired because you're worried about you not being beautiful. Maybe you're tired because you're pursuing all these things to try to become what you aren't. You're tired and not displaying his splendor. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. If you're tired, you need rest. Are you resting in Christ? Are you being refreshed with Christ? Are you being refurbished with Christ? Now, as you get older, you're going to get tired. That's just the name of the game. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I'm still beautiful on the inside, it doesn't really matter, except to those who don't understand. Do you catch it? I'm tired. That's okay. Find your rest in Christ. Rest in Him. You might have something to share there. Let's read the rest of this question then.
I got another question for you.
I wanted to just hear the rest of this one.
Oh, the rest of that one was any encouragement for the senior ladies out there?
Oh, yeah, I just gave it. Let's go to the next question.
All right, next question. I have made a lot of mistakes as a woman, and I just can't seem to forgive myself.
You know what? All you got to do is go back to that first section or that second section on sin. We make a lot of mistakes as men or women, but as women, as we take things under our direction and we try to beautify ourselves or others, based on the way we want them to be or we want to look, that'll create all kinds of mistakes. But if God's transforming you, He says you've been completely forgiven in Christ. Colossians 2:13 says He's forgiven all your sins. If you are a believer and you know Christ, He's forgiven all your sins. If you can't forgive yourself, then your problem is with you and your heart to God. If God says, I've forgiven you everything, but you can't forgive yourself, then your struggle's with God, my friend. You've got to come back to Christ. If He's forgiven me, I got to release it or forgive myself. Accept God at His word. And then not only forgive yourself, that's also the key to becoming beautiful. When God's forgiven you and as a result you can forgive yourself, then I can start looking for God for beauty. Before I was taking things under my direction, and now God's bringing them into my life under His direction. You see the difference? Before I was concerned about how to make myself beautiful, and now I'm concerned about how God's displaying his beauty through me. Do you see the difference? All the difference in the world. It's great.
That's it.
That's all the questions?
Yeah. One thing I will say about this last one is it's really easy to have the head knowledge to accept God's forgiveness, but it's really difficult to internalize it, I think, as a woman, because we tend to hang on to shame so tightly. We don't want to let it go.
You know? Why is that?
You know, that's a really good question. I'm not really sure why, but do you think, you agree, women? It's kind of in our nature to hang on to that, you know? And I've noticed that until we're able to really absorb the fact that God loves us, is then we're truly able to love ourselves, which will pour out to others at that point.
Yeah. Irma Bombeck said, guilt is the gift that keeps on giving. Guilt and shame. You know what Satan did? When Satan tempted Eve and she sinned, you know what it brought into her life? Guilt, shame, and fear. Mm-hmm. Most women are motivated by guilt, shame, or fear, or all above.
Exactly.
And until we begin to realize that God frees me, Satan wants to keep us under him, sin wants to keep us controlled, and we have all this stuff going on because we're emotional and relational, and we got all this stuff going on the inside. Until I finally realize who Jesus is and what he does on the inside and release that to him, I'll never be free from guilt, shame, and fear.
That's right.
And when you're free from guilt, shame, and fear, you begin to see those imposters as they really are and realize Jesus loves to mend broken things. He loves to take things that are broken so that we can see him and realize guilt, shame, and fear are now overcome by grace, kindness, and the beauty of Christ. Isn't that great? God's good, isn't he? Thank you, Rachel. Thank you. God bless you. Hey, as we close this morning, let's say this phrase together, a couple phrases. God makes women beautiful. Let's say it. God makes women beautiful. Secondly, God makes wives beautiful. Let's say it together. God makes wives beautiful. Beautiful. Ladies, quit making yourself. Let God begin to make you from the inside out.